Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with the Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, visit BetterHelp.com/stuff today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/stuff.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant. And Chuck, may I say, Kulu Amwa Antum Bi Kair.
Assalamu alaikum to you, my friend.
So, Chuck and I were speaking Arabic to one another.
Yeah. What did you say?
I said, may you be well throughout the year.
Okay.
I should say that I want to qualify that by that's the translation presented in the House to Forks article. It's not Babel Fish.
I said, peace be with you. Peace be upon you.
Thanks.
That's a general greeting.
Well, those are very nice greetings.
Yeah.
They're particularly appropriate. To say to one another, the whole reason we're speaking Arabic to one another right now is because, you may or may not know this, if you're one of the sixth of the world's population who practice Islam, you're probably well aware of this. Mm-hmm. But for the other five-sixths, it's Ramadan right now.
That's right.
It's a big month.
1.3 billion-ish?
I'd like to say a sixth.
Second largest religion behind Christianity, of course. And
are you sure it's Christianity, really?
Oh, of course. What are you talking about?
I thought there were way more Muslims than Christians.
No.
Huh.
There's like over 2 billion Christians.
I did not know that.
You thought that it was the number one religion in the world? Really?
Yep.
Nah.
That or maybe Buddhism.
Nah. Christianity.
Well, are you sure?
Oh, yeah, dude. Christianity's... They're number one.
They've got that missionary outreach program. I guess it's been effective.
They got it down pat.
Okay.
So July 19th through August 18th this year, and we will explain why it's this year, because it falls at a different time every year.
Yeah, well, we can explain why now, because they use a lunar calendar.
We got smacked down for this, remember?
No.
In one of our shows a year or two ago, we said something about Ramadan falls on this, and people wrote in and said, actually, it falls at a different time every year.
It was probably the fasting episode.
Yeah, I think that was it.
That would make sense.
Yeah, and we were like, oh... Wow, we need to educate ourselves.
And we did.
Yeah, we spent the last year and a half studying Islam.
This is the culmination of a year and a half of Islamic studies that you and I undertook to do the Ramadan episode.
All right, so lunar calendar. That's where it all starts.
Oh, okay. Is that where we're starting?
Well, you already mentioned it, so I'm just bringing it back.
All right, well, the lunar, you know, we're used to the solar calendar, the one that is used in the West, the 365-day calendar.
Yeah, boring.
Based on the cycle of the sun.
Yeah.
A lunar calendar breaks months down by when a new moon is sighted and then the next time a new moon is sighted. And there's a lot of disagreement about what sighting a new moon means. But
yeah,
the point is it's based on the cycle of the moon.
Yeah. In America, Muslims in America generally adhere to the Islamic Society of North America. And when they get together and they say, this is when Ramadan starts this year.
Right. So Ramadan starts as the ninth month of the Muslim calendar. So it's the ninth new moon of the year. And what it kicks off is the holiest, most joyful, most introspective, most charitable month of the year for Muslims. Basically, Ramadan, it's the name of the month, but it's also the name of this month-long celebration. Is basically like the comeback to Islam month for all you Muslims. And those of you who aren't, maybe come get acquainted.
Right.
But it is all about, like, getting back to your religious roots as a Muslim. That's pretty much the point of Ramadan.
That's right. And the ninth month you mentioned is significant because in 610 AD, there was a camel trader named Muhammad.
Yep.
Traveling through the desert. And he had a vision from in Saudi Arabia, modern-day Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, outside Mecca.
And he had a vision from an angel, the angel Gabriel, and said, basically, you are the chosen one, dude, mm-hmm. and you will receive the word of God to dispense to the people. And that was in the ninth month. So that's why Ramadan happens in the ninth month.
Yeah, it's like the most blessed month because that was, to Muslims, the most significant thing that's ever happened in the history of Earth.
Sure. And the words that came through Muhammad was ended up being the Quran.
Yeah, it was transcribed.
Yeah.
So as part of Ramadan, the entire Quran is read out loud at mosques around the world. And they read a little bit every night. And so about a 30th of the Quran is read. Then over the course of the month, the whole thing is read. Bam. Quran read. Ramadan done.
And the prayer where they read them is called the Tarawih. And I need to say a special thank you to Kidir Azali. Put out a call on Facebook. We got any Muslims out there? We need some help. Or I guess I could have said Arabic speakers in general.
Sure.
But I wanted, you know, I wanted it from the horse's mouth.
Right.
So Kidir emailed me, and I had a list of words, and he gave me his best shot at phonetic pronunciations. And so thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Kidir.
Big help.
I mean, that's Chuck's doing great because of you.
Well, I just don't want to stumble through this and offend people like we
always do. No, I'm with you. I think it was a good move.
So the prayer that in which in the mosque that you were reciting the Quran, or the Quran, I guess is how I said it, is Tarawih.
Mm-hmm. That's the prayer. And you say that every night.
That's right.
That's the nightly prayer during Ramadan, right?
Yeah, and I think it's not required, this part, but it is highly encouraged that you do stuff like this.
Well, yeah, it's the whole point. I think, like, also, I don't know, but I would guess that there's, it's the same with, like, say, Christmas time among Christians. There's people who, like, use the Christmas season to reflect and to be charitable and to
go to Mass.
Right. Or during Lent, fasting.
Sure.
Does that equal, like, fasting every day or giving up chocolate or something like that for 40 days?
Right.
I think it probably depends on the depth of your adherence. But the point is, Ramadan is there so that you can come back and just kind of get back in touch with Islam and yourself, too. Because the main component, aside from the nightly prayers mm-hmm. and the reading of the Quran in its entirety during that month, is fasting.
Yeah,
which is
really the big part.
Yeah. So fasting is one of the five pillars of Islam. There's fasting, there's almsgiving, there is daily prayer, and then there's a pilgrimage to Mecca at least once in your lifetime.
If you're able to.
Is that right?
Yeah, they give you a break if you can't afford it. And
gotcha.
Or you're, like infirmed or something.
Right. And then there's Shahada, which is the I guess it's the first pillar probably.
It's
basically the belief in the creed of Islam, which is that Allah is God and Muhammad's his prophet.
Yeah.
So you've got those five pillars. So if the belief in God and fasting are on the same level, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And so this is the month that you really do it. And there's specific guidelines laid out for how you fast and when you fast, right?
Yeah, you start at the age of 12, which is in Islam is, I don't know if that's when they consider you an adult, but that's when most of the, that's when you get involved in Islam as, as far as fasting and stuff like that goes. Mm-hmm. I guess you're no longer considered like a child. So at 12 years old, you can start fasting. And one of the big parts about the fast is not just that you say, you know what, I'm not going to eat during the daytime from sunup to sundown. I'm just not going to eat. I could lose a few pounds and, it can kill two birds with one stone.
Right.
The really important part and the only way for the fast to count is has to do with a word called niyya, N-I-Y-Y-A-H. And that literally means intention. And what I gather from this is that if, like, the fast has to truly come from your heart for the sole purpose of praising Allah.
Right. It's not like you said, like, you want to lose a little weight, or, you know, you're an IRA prisoner or something like that for political reasons. It's like you're doing it to be closer to God or to be a good Muslim.
Yeah, and if you don't, in the scripture it says, quote, whoever does not make niyyah before dawn would not have fasted. So unless you really feel it in your heart, then it doesn't count.
Right.
So make it count.
But everything counts like a little more during Ramadan, apparently. So this is a very special month. During this month, according to the Quran, the gates of heaven are open. So angels are coming freely down to earth to help out.
Uh-huh.
But the gates of hell are locked and all the demons within are chained. So you are basically, the path is cleared for you to really just kind of shed all of your baggage from the year. Your prayers that are done every night are a way to basically clear your conscience of any wrongdoing you've done.
Yeah, they should make the demons locked away like 12 months out of the year.
No, well, here's the thing. There's an answer to that. If the demons were locked up 12 months a year, then it'd be all on you. That's the point during Ramadan. If you do wrongdoing or evil,
yeah, sure,
that is all you.
I can take that. I can take that pressure.
Can you?
Sure. Why not? And not to make light of it. I'm just joking around. You know what I'm saying.
Hey, everybody. Chuck here. Are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals.
Yeah, but you can drink water as clean as nature intended with Richard's Rainwater.
That's right. Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain. Richard's Rainwater is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants that are commonly found in groundwater.
And since rain is naturally pure, there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means Richard's Rainwater contains no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Just pure drops of rain.
That's right. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater, perfect for sipping or mixing into your favorite cocktail. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. Enjoy pure, refreshing rainwater. Sip the sky. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
So the actual practice of fasting, what happens is you wake up early, you know, before dawn, if you want to have anything to eat, and you eat a meal called a sahur. And that gets you going through the day. Sun comes up, then you can't eat at all.
Right, or drink water.
Yeah,
or
true.
Anything.
Yeah, yeah, it's got to be like nothing. It's a good point. Then when the sun sets, you break the fast with a meal called iftar.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with ishtar.
No, you shouldn't confuse anything with ishtar.
And this is your meal after the sun sets to kind of replenish your body. So you probably start off eating like some sweet, drinking some sweet drinks and
or dates
eating,
are a big one.
Yeah, eating dates, and basically that you want to like give some energy to your body to get it going again.
And I was reading an article on the BBC about Ramadan, and it was written by a Muslim scholar, and he was basically kind of chastising people who stock up, as he put it, for Ramadan, which it's like, okay, we didn't eat all day, so we're going to eat like 2 days worth of food at night. And he was like, that's not the point. You can't do that. So,
well, it says you can, though. It says you can eat whatever you, however much you want.
Right, you can. But this guy, he's saying, like, yes, you can.
He's a purist.
He was being a purist, yeah.
Gotcha.
He was saying that's not the point.
All right, well, so says he. It's a rich meal because it's got to tide you over, obviously,
right.
Unless you're just picking out a McDonald's at 2 in the morning.
Right.
And it includes a dessert called a kanafa or a kataif. And the kataif looks sort of like an empanada,
mm-hmm.
from what I can tell. And the kanafa is a cake made of wheat sugar, honey, and raisins and nuts. And it looks sort of like just a sheet cake, like a single layer sheet cake. And they both look quite delicious. I would like to try each.
There's other ones, too. Like baklava is one.
Oh, sure.
That's a good one.
Classic.
Yeah. So, Chuck, you've got your iftar.
Iftar, yeah.
I actually did confuse Ishtar.
That's the nighttime meal.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the nighttime meal. You go to bed, you wake up, you have a sahur, and then the day begins where you're fasting. If you are sick, if you are chronically or acutely ill, the Quran specifically exempts you from fasting during Ramadan. It basically says, like, all I want you to be... well, and you need food and water during this time, so just go ahead and take care of yourself. Apparently, a lot of Muslims still who are sick fast uh-huh. during Ramadan.
Wow.
So Muslim doctors or doctors in the Muslim world have had to kind of think on their feet a little more to figure out how to take care of these patients who are like, I'm not putting anything in my mouth the whole time I'm open.
Right.
So they use like time-release capsules.
Yeah.
Transdermal patches, that kind of stuff, because you can't take a pill that's breaking your fast.
But they don't consider that breaking the fast, I guess, as long as it doesn't enter your mouth?
Yes.
Oh, well,
that's good. That's how I took it.
It's called a workaround.
Right.
In the modern world.
But that's pretty devout.
Yeah.
And apparently the it's most dangerous of all to diabetics who are Muslim and are trying to fast.
Sure,
and it's like, you can give it a shot, but if your blood sugar goes low, like, you need to break your fast immediately.
So you can't even take, like, an insulin shot? Or you can?
You could take an insulin shot, but I think, like, that's...
Right.
You want to try to keep your blood sugar up naturally first.
Well, I'm glad they at least, you know, take care of the sick.
Well, it's specifically exempted
yeah.
in the Quran.
Well, I guess, like, the pilgrimage, too, if you're able to.
Right.
Like, we don't want you to break your back, or if you can't afford it, you can't go.
Yeah.
So fasting is a big deal, and it's not, it's symbolic. It means that you're not paying attention to your, earthly needs. That opens you up to, be more inviting for Allah to, you know, to have that personal connection with Allah.
Right.
Frees you up, which is a big deal. And it's also, a 1-2 punch because you are supposed to feel hungry and know what it's like for those who maybe can't afford food.
Right.
So, like, a big part of it is the connection with the needy.
Yeah.
And those who might be going hungry because they can't help it.
Right, because, again, it's one of the more charitable times of the year when it's, you know, kind of everybody gives that little extra.
Sure.
And then also, Chuck, it also practices self-control. Which is a good one.
Yeah, cleansing.
Yeah. So you've got the you're going through Ramadan. You're going along at a pretty steady clip. And then the last 10 days, you enter this time where it becomes basically the holy of the holies as far as the year is concerned, as far as the Muslim calendar is concerned. There's this night called Laylatul Qadr. Did he give you the pronunciation for that one?
No, I didn't. I don't know anything about that.
I think I got that one. I'm hoping. So that was the night that Muhammad first started reciting the Quran, as far as I could tell.
Okay.
It wasn't the night. I don't think it was the night that the Archangel Gabriel came down and said, hey, man, prepare for transmission because you're about to get the holy word of Allah.
Right.
I think it was the night that he did start saying the Quran and what was eventually transcribed into the Quran.
Okay.
Okay? So it's a very holy night. The thing was, it was not recorded, the date. So no one knows when it was. They just know that it was in the last 10 days of Ramadan. Traditionally, it's celebrated on the 27th day of Ramadan. And this is the day where you do your prayers. What are the prayers called during Ramadan? The Tarawih?
Yeah.
You do your nightly prayer on this night. They say that it's worth more than 1,000 months of worship. Like if you pray and like you're a good devout Muslim on this one night, like it just takes care of everything.
Wow.
Yeah. And then after that, you've got a couple more days of Ramadan and then the end. A big party.
Yeah. You fasted that long. It's time to celebrate. When you break the fast, you say takbir, which takbir, the literal translation is Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. There is no deity worthy of worship but Allah, and Allah is greatest. Allah is the greatest, and all praise is due to Allah. Mm-hmm. And this can be said, there's a variety of moments in a Muslim's life on a monthly basis that they will say this. You know, it's not just at the end of Ramadan. It could be a battle cry. It could be in times of need. Basically, it's just an expression that nothing is greater than Allah. And when you have completed this really important task at the end of Ramadan, this is what they say. Men are supposed to say it out loud. Women are supposed to just think it. No comment on that. But basically, that's the end of Ramadan, and then it's time for the celebration, the Eid al-Fitr.
Right.
Which is, you know, it's kind of a party.
And everybody says Eid Mubarak, which means a blessed Eid.
That's right.
Yeah.
Eid means festivity.
Uh-huh.
Fitr means breaking the fast.
Yep.
So this is the party where you break the fast.
And everybody gets gussied up and dressed to the nines,
yeah.
And they go seek out the poor. They chase them down in the streets and then give them money and food.
Yeah, they light up their houses.
What, with lanterns and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very beautiful. It's not Muslim Christmas.
I
know people in the Western world always like to like say, oh, this is like Easter. This is like, you know, 4th of July is the Cinco de Mayo in Mexico. It's like none of this is true.
Yeah, that's true. That was a good thing to point out, Chuck. I'm glad you did that.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, Chuck here. Are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals.
Yeah, but you can drink water as clean as nature intended with Richard's Rainwater.
That's right. Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain. Richard's Rainwater is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants that are commonly found in groundwater.
And since rain is naturally pure, there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means Richard's Rainwater contains no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Just pure drops of rain.
That's right. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Perfect for sipping or mixing into your favorite cocktail. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. Enjoy pure, refreshing rainwater. Sip the sky. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
And so what else happens after that with Eid al-Fitr? I didn't get from this article how long it lasts. Like, is it
one night?
Is it like a week-long thing? Does it depend on how the economy's doing that year?
That's a good question. I didn't get to that either.
Huh.
Well, I'm sure someone will inform us.
I hope so.
But it is a big party, and lots of generosity and gratitude among each other and, like you said, toward the poor.
Yeah.
Which is pretty great. So in the end, Ramadan accomplishes a bunch of things. It's going to strengthen your relationship with Allah. Very important. It's going to enforce patience and determination. I imagine going through a month-long sunup to sundown fast will do that.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be times during that month where you're like, I'm having a really bad day, and yeah. I want a cheeseburger.
Yeah, I'm sure. Promotes the principles of sincerity by making you shy away from arrogance
mm-hmm.
and showing off. That's kind of cool.
Sure.
Like, I like all these tenets. Promotes good character and truthfulness, which is a good one. Encourage you to do away with bad habits. I guess if you've got some bad habits, Ramadan would be a good time to wash those away.
Sure.
Because the whole 30 days theory of, you know, starting a new habit.
Plus you're practicing self-restraint already anyway.
Exactly. Enhances generosity and hospitality. Reinforces the commonality and the feeling of brotherhood with other Muslims, which is a big deal. Observance of the value of time, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it were me, I'd be watching that sun go down each night.
Right.
And
well, plus also, you're not just wandering around looking for food and stuffing your face. You have
sure.
more time, so
yeah.
do something with it.
Yeah, makes you value time, I guess.
Right.
And teaches children to perform acts of like servitude and obedience, be kind to the poor, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Basically, get your life back in balance. Get your spiritual life back in balance.
Be a good Muslim. That's what it's saying.
That's right.
So this year, since it's a lunar calendar, it falls on different times of the year every year. And not even like different, like, oh, this year it's July 1st, and then next year it's going to be like July 5th or something. It's like in 5 or 6 years or something like that, it'll be in like November.
Yeah, it's like it's all over the 12-month map, right?
Right. So this year, if you're in the United States, the Islamic Society of North America, you said?
Yeah.
They said, okay, the new moon sighted on July 20th. And yeah. they use astronomical calculations, and there's a big debate over, you know, whether that's okay. And they're saying, yes, of course it's okay. It's actually more precise. You don't have to see it. There's nothing in the Quran that says you have to see it.
Right.
Other people say, no, in the Quran, it's when the new moon is sighted. You can't sight it with astronomical calculations.
Right.
You have to use your peepers. So there's a debate, and apparently all this goes away. Yeah. Well, apparently all this goes away, like, during, like, once Ramadan starts, everybody's like, okay, whatever, it's Ramadan, be quiet.
Right.
But there's two arguments on whether to, like, if you're in North America, that's not Mecca.
Sure.
So there's different arguments, and one argument for using a local sighting is, well, these are the people that you're celebrating Ramadan with, your community. What's one of the reasons for it is to be
together.
Part of a local sure. community. Another, but then the other argument to use, like, say, the Mecca sighting, where, mm-hmm. you know, when the new moon appears over Mecca, is that it unites Muslims around the world in their
yeah.
Muslimness. At the center of it.
Those are both good points.
But neither one's settled.
Really?
I mean, in the U.S., they still use the Islamic Society of North America mainly. So,
is it a hot debate or is it?
I don't think. I think it's an ongoing debate.
Right.
But again, I think once Ramadan starts, it's like
everyone says just, the important thing is that we're all together here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Pretty interesting stuff.
And I didn't know much about it. I knew that was fasting, but it's good to, you know. I've always said one of the coolest classes I took in college at Georgia was my religion class.
Yeah.
Very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's good to open yourself up to learn about stuff, whether
yeah.
or not you subscribe to any of it. Knowledge, you know.
And just listening to this podcast is a good start.
Agreed.
And if August 19th comes around and you have a Muslim friend, make sure to wish them Eid Mubarak, because that's Eid al-Fitr this year. August 19th in North America. Just remember.
That's right.
Okay, that's it for Ramadan. If you want to learn more about it, you can type that into the search bar at howstuffworks.com, R-A-M-A-D-A-N. And I said search bar, which means it's time for listener mail.
No, it's not, Josh. It is time for
administrative detail. It's been a while.
Wow.
So this is going to span a couple of shows because it's pretty long. we've had an ongoing list, or actually...
And that's just the ones you've compiled so far. I still have, yeah, like, a backlog myself.
So let me give you this page, and okay, I'll take this one and just sort of mark where you left off, and we'll finish up.
Wow.
There's, like, three pages. All right, so first of all, Bobby Duke, my man, the woodcarver. Awesome, awesome stuff. He carved us this handmade Stuff You Should Know thing. I've promoted before. It's on our TV show.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's really awesome. And if you're into wood carving and you want to support Bobby, DukeWoodCarving.com is where you can go.
Yeah. Okay. I got one for you with the .com. Dan of SharpShirter.com, SharpShirter, sent us some great, awesome t-shirts of a man punching a bear.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Giving a bear a haymaker, I believe.
Yeah.
I love that. We got stickers of that, too. You can find him also at the Eastern Market in D.C.
That's right. Bailey Denmark, you sent us dark chocolate and bacon cookies, which means that you know us and you love us. Delicious, and good luck at graduate school, Bailey.
Jenny and Brian sent us some spam-flavored macadamia nuts from Hawaii. Gracias.
Mine are still sitting up there.
I know.
I'm waiting for, like, just the right moment.
Well, I hope I'm around.
Okay. Did you eat yours?
I didn't get any.
Oh, you didn't?
No, you have the... You've been keeping them hostage.
Oh, well, we'll split them. Good. We'll give Jerry one and we'll eat the rest. We got a book from Samuel Lytle called Gold Star. And we certainly appreciate that. Have not read it yet, but it's on the shelf.
Thanks, Sam. I want to put in a special shout out to our buddies Glenn and Sonia for the bottle of champagne that they sent us.
Of course.
For reaching the $1 million loaned mark on Kiva. And they sent me and Yumi a bottle of champagne to congratulate us for our wedding.
Boy, do they have
classy.
A champagne factory or something?
Classy. No, bought it all themselves.
Pillow Mob. Everyone has seen the Chuck pillow. There was a Josh pillow, but you haven't really.
I keep the thing in hiding.
Yeah.
When I opened the box and I saw that, it activated the part of my brain that would be activated if it had been a human head. Like, that's what was activated when I looked in the box. It's scary.
Well, I love my Chuck pillow. It's made appearances all over my house to freak out Emily, like in the microwave, because I know she'll go to put her coffee in there each morning. And sometimes I'll put it in bed and when I go out of town, stuff like that. Anyway, Pillow Mob is, I think they're out of Seattle, and they're pretty funny gifts.
Yeah, they're awesome.
I would suggest you get one for somebody.
What's their website? Pillowmob.com?
I'm not sure, but it's pretty easy to find.
Search Pillow Mob.
Yeah.
Lazy. I've got one. Illustrator Kevin Cornell sent us his book, Sixpenny Anthems, Volume 2. He specifically asked not to be plugged because he didn't want the gift to be disingenuous. Well, TS for you. It's a really good compilation on the comics he's worked on, and you can find it at bearskinrug.co.uk. Kevin Cornell, heck of a guy. Awesome comics.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Man of Leisure from Missoula, Montana, sent us moonshine.
Yeah.
Like four jars.
And you've tried it.
I tried it at work at my desk.
I know. I watched you do it.
It was delicious.
Because I wouldn't touch mine until you drank yours.
Yeah, I tried the cinnamon. Josh was like, try it. I want to see if you drop dead. And I tried the cinnamon, and man, it was hot and delicious.
I've got the citrus one, and it is just right.
Oh, have you tried it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. We got a postcard from the Spam Museum. The Spam Museum from Julie G. in Austin, Texas. Thank you.
We got a book called Swing from Alan Gerstel. And he is a dude who found out that his birth father was Louis Prima.
Cool.
So he says.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Jennifer sent us a cat ball. Those went to you because I don't have cats.
I use it all the time.
Yeah.
Or my cats do.
Catball.com.
Yeah, it's basically...
Wait, no, I'm sorry. Thecatball.com. thecatball.com.
Yeah, it's a big, hollow, open on two sides, sort of fabric-y ball that the cats can climb inside and... my cats just lay in it, but other ones probably play. More active cats play.
Right.
Liz at Little Bit Sweets, as always.
Oh, yeah.
Your candy is delicious, and your chocolate is delicious. And we have an invite next time we're in New York to come by and learn how to make chocolate.
Nice.
And supposedly they're coming by on their book tour.
Oh, yeah?
So go to Little Bit, LIDDABIT Sweets, and support them because they're like hand-making these delicious things. And buy their book, which... I don't have the name in front of me, but I'm sure they have the information at the Little Bit Sweets website.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Claire from Summit, New Jersey sent us a very nice handwritten letter. Thank you very much for that, Claire. That's a dying art.
It is. And I got one more, and then I feel like we should probably continue this another time. Yeah? Maya from the Brooklyn Brewery. Remember, they sent us a big box of stuff.
Yeah.
Including beach towels and stickers.
Yeah.
And koozies and books, including the Brewmaster's Table and Beer School.
Yeah.
So I've been drinking Brooklyn Brewery for a long time, since I lived in New Jersey many years ago.
Nice.
And it's delicious stuff.
It is great stuff.
If you're from that area, I'm sure you know it well.
Yeah.
If not, seek it out.
Thanks, guys. Thanks all right. to all of you guys.
Yeah, more to come.
I guess next time, if you sent us something and you weren't included, you better listen to the next few podcasts.
That's right.
If you want to send us something, we're always happy when something comes for us. Always. Especially if it's not a severed head and it just turns out to be a pillow mob. You can get us, you can get our address by tweeting to us at SYSK Podcast. You can ask us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow. And you can send us an email saying, hey, where do I send you cool stuff? To StuffPodcast@Discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey, everybody. Are you thirsty? Well, sip on pure, refreshing Richard's Rainwater. Yes, it's really rain. Caught clean before it hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's Rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's Still Rainwater or the long-lasting and cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's Sparkling Rainwater. Visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. Sip the sky. The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.